Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And of course, they performed the Tony Kornheiser Man, the one from the Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did brilliant. That all together. But the thing about the jingles, it was so funny for me. I was just so thankful I have another job. No offense, Nigel or Michael. Because I was just watching them thinking, my God, this show is so stupid. And it's just and the jingles just like highlight it and underscore it so well.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Alrighty then, we're at Chatter. This is Tuesday. We're going to be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's it. We go on summer break after that, though we'll be doing some podcasts in some form, either in the morning or the evening. But there's more on that later, and I don't mean later today. I mean like in a month or so. This is the last week of the regularly scheduled breakfast thing. At Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights. David Aldridge is here. Liz Clark is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is here to run the board, do the news. Our fabulous intern, Marcus. Is there any food coming today, Marcus, from Memphis? No, Marcus in the negative
today.
On that. And our Summer Cliffy from PTI is here. Michael, I don't refer to him by his name. I don't even know his last. It doesn't matter. He's Cliffy. All the people who work there are Cliffy because I can't remember people's names at this advanced age in my life. But what distinguishes Michael from every other Cliffy we've ever had over 17 years is Michael is from outside the borders of the United States of America. Michael is from the country of Canada and, in fact, the province of Newfoundland. And I introduced him to Liz because Liz had expressed antipathy to Canada for many, many years until the turnaround moment with the show that you saw, Come From Away, the musical, it's been on Broadway for about 4 years now, and that is based in Newfoundland. And it is not Newfoundland, and it's not Newfoundland, it's Newfoundland, right? Cliffy, I have that right. And he's I have no idea how he got, he's very good at the job. You're going to go to law school, right? And your brother's going to medical school.
Oh, family of slackers.
Yeah,
wow.
But,
seriously.
But again, If wherever you are listening to this show,
yes,
wherever you live, ask yourself this, and for many people the answer will be yes. If you drive 10 minutes in any direction from your home, can you see cows? And Cliffy can see cows. And that to me is fabulous.
And I bet a lot of other cool things.
Can
but
see
it
cows.
Just, I want to say, it was more than Come From Away that made me do the 180. Lots
what?
Of other things. Well, no one cares. But the
well,
Come From Away was huge, was really big, and I just urge everyone to see it. It's a beautiful, beautiful musical.
Let me do a little bit of business. That Dogfish Head Beer Dinner at Chatter is Monday, July 9th. This is in conjunction with the Dogfish Head people and with Calvert Woodley, La Cheeserie. There's a variety of foods, a variety of beers. There are only 35 seats available. It's $65. If you want to go to this thing, I don't even know if there are seats left. I assume there are seats left, because nobody's screaming at me not to do this. But if you want to go to this thing, which will have salads and fried green tomatoes and crab Benedict and chicken fried short ribs and espresso panna cotta, is that how it's pronounced? The dessert panna cotta or panna cotta? I'm not sure, because I don't usually have that dessert. Anyway, you can call Chatter. What is our number? 202-362-8040. 202-362-8040. You can make a reservation. You cannot make it on Golden Table, what is it?
Open Table.
You can't call them.
Golden Corral.
Go yes. to go, if you get shut out, go to Golden Corral. Mark D. Sal, S-Z-S-Z-A-L. Do you think that's pronounced Sazal or Sal? I think it's probably Sal. Greetings again from your Cool Sculpting friends. I have to get that. Cool Sculpting, I have to get that. It's painless and takes the fat away immediately.
Right.
Greetings again from your Cool Sculpting friends at Aspera Body in Fall River, Massachusetts. They sent a t-shirt, which we gave out already from the Wiffle Ball, Silver Shores Wiffle Ball Tournament. This is from Mark, and Kate hopes to see you at Chatter for that consultation soon. That's the consultation, where they can tell me how much fat they can get rid of without any pain whatsoever. And P.S., what happens when Mike gets Cool Sculpting? Wilbon's Chili. C-H-I-L-L-Y.
Very funny.
And we got a big box of stuff for Bootsy. From Carol and Ed in Stanfield, North Carolina. Here are some odds and ends you might find useful as a prize closet fodder. Most have absolutely no value whatsoever, except perhaps the RG3 travel mug, which should make everyone laugh at least. We had a taker on that, which is More people than have taken
I think the mug's
Bud
already been
Light
broken.
Orange. Yeah, it's on the DL.
Was it broken in week five?
Yeah, it was. No, week one.
Oh.
Week one when it attempted a big to go around end.
Yeah, tried to slide.
Yeah, and couldn't really slide. All right, so let me get to the first note that I took. And then we're going to go local here. And this is the note. Yes. First of all, I was, I'll tell you the Saliza stuff last night. Saliza texts, I'm watching the Nats, and Saliza, this is it. 4-pitch walk to the second batter of the game. That's Gio. I hate Gio. I want him gone. Expressing the opinion of the man to my right, I'm sure.
Correct.
And I write back, utterly worthless, utterly. And Chris writes, hate him. And even if he is good in the regular season, he chokes every turn in the playoffs. I'd rather have Fetty or Jeffrey with one F, Rodriguez. And so I watch. He didn't get to the scene, get out in the second.
No, didn't get an out in the second inning.
He threw
60 pitches, 3 outs.
Just unbelievable. He's into the second inning. And he has thrown, is it 61?
62, I thought.
60-some-odd pitches to get 3 outs.
So I write, I've come to the realization that I'm utterly done with Gio Gonzalez. Utterly. He's the most maddening pitcher on the team. I'd rather have Fetty. I would. He threw 62 pitches and recorded 3 outs. He gave up 3 hits, which is nothing compared to the 5 walks and 6 earned. We have 1 starter, I wrote. Gio began, this is a note that I got from the Post today. Gio began the month of June.
Mm-hmm. He had great numbers.
2.10 ERA.
Awesome. He was awesome.
His ERA now is 3.68.
Yeah.
It's just less than a month. And in his other starts, he can't get an out in the fifth.
No.
He's personally killing the bull. The bullpen's terrible.
Well, and
he's
the worst part personally is on the back end of this trip, you have 4 games in Philadelphia where you'd like to save some of those arms instead of using them on the first game on the road.
The bullpen's not terrible. The bullpen's overused. There's a big difference. The bullpen's actually very good when they don't have to pitch 6 innings every day.
I'm not a Madsen guy.
Madsen's
very
good.
He got the win on Sunday.
Madsen's very good.
He gives up hits. I'm not a Madsen guy.
By the way, 62 pitches, 29 for strikes.
He was surprised when Martinez took him out, too.
Right.
He cursed into his glove. So you didn't see this coming?
He walks around the mound. He's like a homeless man in the subway. He walks around the mound cursing, right? He is absolutely maddening.
I'm not sure why anybody... Well, I don't know why people are still having this discussion about whether he's a good pitcher in the playoffs. Just look at his numbers. He hasn't done anything in the postseason. All he does is go 3 1/3.
No.
It's not good enough. You need better.
I have to say I'd never heard of Blake Snell for Tampa. And he's 10-4 with a 2.31 ERA, so I'd never heard of him. But here's where I am at two places. One, and I don't want to sound too much like FP, but I'm afraid I'm going to here. It's a 162 game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to have periods where you lose 6 out of 7 and you don't understand why, and you win 10 out of 12, and you go, I didn't really see that coming. What was distressing about last night was they finally hit the night. They got 2 hits.
Well,
they got 2 hits.
But that was going to happen. Snell,
you believe that was a built-in loss?
Yeah, there was no way they're going to win that game last night. Now, they should have lost it. What you would hope is that they would have lost it 3-0, for example. Would have been fine, but not
11-0.
Yeah. But no, they didn't get there till like 5 a.m. I mean, that's the ridiculousness of playing Sunday night and then having to travel and play on the road.
And you don't want the effects of that loss to extend into the rest of this away
series. Yeah, because they're going to Philadelphia.
Yes.
But see, this is ESPN. Apparently, it seems to me, I could be wrong. I don't know this for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It seems they late in a week
flexed it. Yeah.
They flex into that game on Sunday night. That's a killer game.
It's supposed to be a 1:30 game.
Yeah. That's an 8 o'clock start on a getaway.
Of course. And it's
just killer.
With a rain delay.
With a rain delay.
So it didn't finish till after midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was way after midnight.
So they had no...
They landed at, I think they said 4:45 in the morning in Tampa. There was no chance they were going to win that game last night. There was no chance. Those guys are dead mentally, physically. But it's just disappointing that a guy that didn't play Sunday, that hadn't pitched since Wednesday, couldn't come in and give you a better effort.
By the way, can I say this? About a month ago, I gave Mike Rizzo a lot of credit on Mark Reynolds. He hasn't made contact in a month.
This is Mark Reynolds. This is what he does. Home run, strikeout, home run, strikeout, home run, strikeout. That's what he does.
Yeah, except you can stop with the home runs.
Yeah, well, okay.
Because we've
he
stopped.
Doesn't hit 80 home runs. He hits about 20, and then he strikes out 500 times.
I know that Liz will say that she has nothing to say about baseball, yeah, so I understand that. But there's a small issue I want to get to, and this is something that over a long period of time now, over 5, 6, 8 years, I've come to realize I was wrong. I don't like interleague play at all. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason for it.
Right.
It disrupts the flow of the season. The Nats play the American League East extensively this year. I understand Nats against Baltimore, but this is, you're being jerked around with this. You change from DH to no DH. To me, you know, play in the National League. Play the teams you might play in the playoffs, and if you never get to an American League team unless you get to the World Series, which it was for 100 years, so be it. I thought this was great, and I now think I'm wrong. What do you think?
You're completely wrong.
Okay. So you like interleague?
Of course I do.
I don't.
Tony, we get access. We can go to any game we want. Most people can't.
You mean we as sports writers?
Yeah,
sports,
and sports. As Mr. Tony.
He's a special guest.
The Saliza seats.
I don't know.
Eight-year-old kid that maybe will get one chance in his or her life to see Mike Trout come to his or her city. If you don't have interleague play and I'm a kid in San Diego, I'll never get to see Mike Trout play. I want to see Mike Trout play.
Well, if you're a kid in San Diego, you get in the car and drive an hour and a half, maybe less.
I know. That's a
terrible example.
It's so easy for you to say, oh, just get in the car and drive. Yeah, like somebody's not running, like somebody's not working 75 hours a week and doesn't have the access to tickets and can't just drive to L.A. because they feel like it.
SeatGeek, baby. SeatGeek, get $20 off.
So. Make it Cincinnati then.
Okay.
If I'm a sick kid in Cincinnati and I get one chance to see Mike Trout, the only chance I get to see him is in interleague play.
How are you on interleague play?
You kind of persuaded me with your turn against it. I think there's a purity to not having it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always an empath for little kids and their life.
Oh, David's doing it for the kids. Oh, stop. David's doing it for the kids.
No, but I
my whole life it's for the kids.
It seems kind of gimmicky to listen
So I'm going to turn to Michael because the rest of us are old enough to have known that interleague play had been banned and was a big deal and was very, very attractive. In your life, interleague play has basically been there. What do you think of interleague play?
I love interleague play. It's not too much for me, and it lets you see teams that you'd otherwise have no exposure to. So even right now, I'm watching a Tampa Bay team, and I now have a rooting interest in them because we know the third base coach.
Yes.
But I have access
to who was waving them home last night.
As they walked home.
Yeah.
No, I think it's – when you talk about the full length and breadth of a 162-game season, there's space for this. And you know what? There are enough games that they play in division and in league, and there are enough of those games that turn out to be meaningless, you know, getaway games that turn into nothing affairs. So if you get a chance to see these players that you otherwise don't see to the playoffs, how many times do you turn on the TV in October and you're watching an American League divisional series for us in the National League and you say, I haven't even seen this team all season except for a couple innings on Sunday night or with highlights. So I'm fine with it, but
what a dump stadium that is, by the way. That's the worst stadium in any team of any sport.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
Right?
It's bad.
It's the Trop. It's the worst.
It's bad. It was
good name.
It's better than Miami Stadium. Old stadium was terrible, but this is worse.
So this is the worst.
I feel bad for them because they can't.
We love them. They're our official American League team.
They don't have any
because of the third.
Well, that's
base
why I'm
coach.
So surprised that you're against.
They got no money. They have to sell off their good players all the time. It's awful.
I've come to just feel that it has become, in my mind, gimmicky, and that it's a lack of purity, and I'm now ready to go back to see these people in the World Series and the World Series alone.
How many times?
I understand David's argument.
I have a bigger issue that, you know, maybe 1/7 of the total teams are not professional, major league ready teams, and I have a bigger issue when you start to pitch, when you have to pitch players and field teams because of the full scope of the season that have no right playing in those spots. I have a bigger issue with that than these made-up series that are just for TV and getting kids into stadiums.
Anyway, I mean, but this is all prompted by Gio.
Yes.
My review of the season, my review of baseball, everything is prompted by the fact that I see him and I get hives. I mean,
well,
he's won 20 games.
Yeah, I know.
He's been a 20-game winner.
It's made worse having seen two AAA pitchers that the Nats have had to roll out over the weekend. Okay, we're getting back to some stability.
You can't win your division with one starter.
No.
They have one starter.
You can't.
And the Braves had another walk-off win.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like...
They're plus +5 on the season. Yeah. That's all they are is plus +5.
They've gotten shut out 5 times in the last 16 games.
Wow.
5 times.
Wow. All right, we're done. we'll come back. We'll actually talk to David about the draft and Wilbon's latest adventure. Now he's not on LeBron coming to Washington.
Oh, he got off that train?
He got off the train like the girl in The Americans. just got off the train. It disappeared.
That's a shorter train ride than New York to Philly.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a new sponsor for us, and I want to pronounce it correctly, and I don't know how to say it. I think it's Bespoke.
Yes.
And for many years in my life, Bespoke was a brand of English clothing, right? English suits and stuff like that, and shirts and suits of the highest quality imported from England. I'll just read this. Bespoke Post delivers a monthly themed box of awesome, full of goods to upgrade your style and your life. There are tons of box themes, style, grooming, cooking, drinking, or travel. Bespoke Post has new boxes every month that you're guaranteed to dig, and there are no commitments. Bespoke Post lets you know which box they've picked out for you on the first of each month. You'll have 5 days to keep it, switch it, or skip it. This is fun. This is like...
So it's like a
Halloween thing.
A grab bag.
Yes, like the thing at Christmas, you know, where you just stick your hand
Secret
in a big
Santa
box, and if you don't get eaten by a snake,
but
that's good.
But can I ask, do we know if this is tailored for men? Like, the boxes have...
I'm going to read this, and hopefully it will be answered. Okay, there are a few perks that come from hosting a podcast, but the big one for me is being able to utter the phrase, send me a box of that. With Bespoke Post, they will hook you up with a box of awesome every month. It's kind of like a present from yourself to yourself once a month. They sent me the Weekender bag, and I know I'll be using that on trips out to the beach this summer. See what else you can add to your box. Bespoke Post scouts out quality and unique products around the world, delivering them to you every month without high retail markups. To get started, visit boxofawesome.com and answer a few short questions that will help them get a feel for the boxes that will go best with your style. Whether you're in search of the perfect drink, a well-kept pad, or jet-setting in style, Bespoke Post helps you get there, improving your life one box at a time. This is great copy. Each box goes for under $50, but has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting inside for you. On the first of each month, you'll receive an email with your box details. You'll have 5 days to change colors or sizes or add extra goods to your box. If you're not feeling that month's box, then simply skip it. From barrel aging kits to limited edition cigars, weekender bags to classy dob kits, Bespoke Post offers essential goods and guidance for the modern man.
I had a feeling we were going in the male direction.
But if there was a particular man you wanted to sign up for this, you could do that.
How about if she wants to sign herself up to him?
Well, then she's going to receive masculine goods, apparently. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to Box of Awesome. That's the best thing we've had. Boxofawesome.com and enter promo code Tony at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code Tony for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post, themed boxes for guys that give a damn. How about that for a closing line?
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I love sleeping in the dog bed, the Casper mattress dog bed. There's no room in the dog bed for anyone else but me.
This is Susan Peake.
Grandpa's dog is named Chessie.
As attached, please find the I love sleeping in the dog bed. As a very new little, I can just scratch the surface of all the inside jokes, but as a children's musician, the image of Bootsy in Chessie's Casper dog bed sang to me. Although Tony won't, I will come to your house to yodel for your children. My website is studioblueguitar.com. My name is Susan Peake. I'd like to be the official children's musician of the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Done.
She's locked that up.
That's great. As long as she never sings 1-877 Cars for Kids.
K-A-R-S Cars for Kids.
Please don't do that. That is something that resonates in your head and makes you explode.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Isn't it lovely?
That's lovely.
It's like Lori Berkner. It's very, very, very nice.
She's a musician.
Yeah, she does kids music.
But she's local.
No, she's not local.
She's not local.
No, no, but she's toured here many times. She's just very, very, very
who was the woman
singer.
Who was the woman at Elizabeth's bat mitzvah where the woman whose child was bar mitzvahed with Elizabeth was a relative of Steve Buckhan's, and I think it's her. I remember that name, Lori. I remember that. And I think she is local, David.
I don't think she's local.
Can we look her up? What's her last name?
Lori Berkner.
Lori Berkner?
She's a very famous children's song singer.
Okay. Well, we'll see. All right. David is here to actually deal with the draft for me. Wilbon dealing with the draft was ridiculous the other day.
What?
So ridiculous.
It didn't work out for
well,
you?
Well, it just, you know, Mike was ridiculous. I love Mike. On that particular subject, he's... All he cares about is who the Bulls got.
No, of course.
You know, that's all he cares about. So did anything stand out to you in the draft in terms of surprise or a real sleeper or something where you said, wow, I didn't see that coming at all?
Not really. No, I mean, you know, Phoenix had to take Ayton for a number of reasons. I thought, you know, I like Bagley. I know a lot of people like Doncic. You could take either one of them. You'd be fine to me. You know... Maybe I was a little surprised, I guess, that Philly drafted Mikal Bridges and
so
traded
sad.
Him. I was so sad. They were so excited. He and
his
mom,
mother.
They were so excited. They were
That's the
to,
Grinch. That's such a
I
Grinch
know,
move.
That was not good. They should have figured that out.
But the fact to get an unprotected.
I understand why they did it. I'm just saying.
Why him?
Well, why do you let him do interviews where he's talking about how excited he is? He's going to be able to stay home, and he's from the Philly area, and this is great, and I've revered the Sixers, and it's going to be great.
Heartbreaking.
Oh,
I mean, it actually
awful.
Is heartbreaking.
It was awful.
That was the nicest story of the entire draft. Do you know this story, Liz?
I don't.
Okay, so this is a Villanova kid he's good.
He's from Malvern.
I love Villanova
right.
kids.
So his mom works in HR for the Sixers.
Yeah.
So he gets drafted, and his mom goes crazy. She jumps up. She's so happy. They hug. It's the greatest moment. It is
yes,
the greatest moment
it's
of
terrific.
Her life. And within 20 minutes, they shipped him to Phoenix.
He went to Phoenix.
Man, just
oh, that's so cool.
Like he was going to be able to walk to work.
Exactly. It was a great story.
Yeah.
So that see cows 10 minutes away.
Oh, see cows.
Yeah,
okay.
it was a little surprising. But otherwise, no.
Trae Young became effectively the third pick overall.
Yeah.
He's tiny.
6'1".
I don't think he's 6'1".
No, he's 6'1". He's measured 6'1" in Chicago.
Weighs 110.
He's
like a model.
I think look, the fact
like
that he can shoot with the range he can shoot the ball with makes him viable in today's NBA. He's going to have to play point guard. I'm not sure.
They say he can pass with either hand, which is good.
Well, he can pass, but he misses a lot of guys. If you really look at the tape, he misses a lot of guys. And you can't miss guys in the NBA because the defenses recover too quickly. He's got to work on that. And defensively, he's brought nothing to the table in college. He's got to get better and serious about playing
So the
defense.
Entire theory about Trae Young, advanced by Trae Young before the draft was, well, they're not going to double team in the NBA.
No,
so I'm going to be great.
Actually, they are going
to. But they're going to throw the second guy out.
Yes, they're going to make you pass. They're going to make you pass the ball. And to your point, I mean, he's 6'1". Steph Curry, who everybody compares him to,
that's bigger.
And Steve Nash are both 6'3". That's a big difference. Big. So.
And as thin as Steph Curry is, he's thicker than this kid.
He's strong. Steph is what they call wiry strong. He's not bulky strong, but he's very strong core. Mm-hmm. So he's hard to move.
How about Porter Jr. at 14?
Well, look, everybody's scared to death of the back. Only one team's doctors got to actually examine him, and people get very skittish when their doctors can't put their hands on a guy and say, "Here's what
see me, feel me, touch me, heal me."
Yeah, here's what we like. Here's what we're concerned about.
Oh, does that hurt? I'm sticking a needle in your back. Does that hurt?
Right. So people got very skittish about that, and it's not that. He, it's not that he'll never play. It's how long can he play? you know, when you're taking a guy in the top half of the lottery, you don't want him for 4 years. You want him for 10. And so if you think he's only going to play, say, 7 before the back becomes a problem, then it gets problematic to take him.
That's your, you know, that's looking into the future in the same way. When will so-and-so need Tommy John?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, so you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm, even though I think of this kid as simply an itinerant at this point, following his dad all around the world,
right.
I'm now rooting for him.
Well, I think we all were, because it was not painful. I shouldn't say painful. He's getting paid millions of dollars to play basketball. But it was, you know, you felt for him sitting in the green room, knowing that this is a guy that a year ago was going to be the number one pick. And it wasn't close. There was nobody within 10 miles of this guy. And he got hurt. And you hate to see a guy get hurt and suffer because of it.
At least in the case of Isaiah Thomas, not that Isaiah Thomas,
not that
but
Isaiah
this Isaiah
Thomas.
Thomas. At least in the case of him, he's had some glory.
Yes.
He's been a great player.
Also,
now he has fallen off the edge of the earth.
Correct.
In fact, I'm not sure in the history of sports that I've seen a guy take this tumble this quickly. He was an MVP candidate a year ago. You could get him for a bag of cheese now.
Yeah, it's going to be, he lost a lot of money. A lot of money.
He really did.
So I can understand him feeling some kind of way about Boston.
Oh, yeah. Sure. So let me get to something that's personal for you and a lot of people here, but for you.
Yeah.
Demathakit.
Yes.
Markelle Fultz.
Yes.
There is a report, we talked about this yesterday on PTI, there is a report from his new...
From Drew Hanlon.
Yeah, from his new shooting coach.
No, the player development guy, yeah. He's one of the best, Drew Hanlon. He's very good. Helped Bradley Beal a lot.
Markelle Fultz, who was the overall number one pick and who appears to be one of the busts of all time at the moment, he said, Drew Hanlon said of him, he got the yips, he completely forgot how to shoot.
Yeah. Yes.
What next?
Well, he's...
Because if you can't shoot in the NBA, you're in the wrong sport.
Well, the fortunate thing about the yips is that it doesn't have to be permanent. And so hopefully with training and with a new coach who's going to rebuild his shot and get him confidence, because this is all about confidence.
This is mental.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Ian Baker Finch got the yips, had to quit.
Yeah, it does happen.
Chuck Knobloch, Steve Sachs, Steve Blass
was the guy.
Had to quit.
Who's the guy that became an outfielder? That was
Rick Ankiel.
Ankiel, yeah. Yeah, it does happen.
Daniel Murphy had him, overcame him.
Right. So it's not permanent. Doesn't have to be permanent, but it does happen. And so I think it did happen for a variety of reasons, I would imagine, with Markelle Fultz. And you hope, and I believe, that eventually the best thing for him will be to be traded.
Oh, he can't play another down for the Sixers.
I think
they drafted three guards.
Right. So if he were to be traded, whoever gets him would not be getting the guy who was drafted number one. They'd just be getting a guy that they traded for.
That's right.
And so all that pressure would be off of him, and I think he could relax and play, and I think he'll
you
be
do.
Fine. Oh, yeah.
Because I think the next time he steps onto a court in another uniform, I think this all comes flooding back and we then see.
No, I think he'll be fine. Because there's no pressure on him. In Philly, he's the number one pick overall. And so I don't think he'll ever be able to live up to that. If he gets traded to, let's just say for the sake of argument, he gets traded to San Antonio, then he's just the guy that San Antonio's bringing in. There's no pressure on him. So he can just play, and I think he'll be fine. I really do believe that.
You ever seen anything like this?
In the NBA, no.
Number one.
Well, actually, Nick Anderson. Nick Anderson.
When he missed the foul shot.
Missed the four free throws. And he was never the same after that. Never. And he was a all-star level two guard. He was really good. And then he missed those four in the finals, and that was it.
Or on Orlando at that point.
Yeah, it was with Orlando in the finals against Houston.
Yeah. How about the Wizards pick?
Well,
I don't know anything about him.
Here's the thing. I don't hate the pick. I don't hate him as a player. I think he has a chance to be a good player in time.
On that team?
Well, I think so. Okay. But the problem is they don't have time. That's the problem. You know, if they're going to compete for a championship, the window's now. And I would argue the window's closed.
It's done. Window's done.
And so you can't draft an 18-year-old kid that will probably be good in 3 years. You don't have 3 years.
And they have three people at the exact same position now. Is that problematic?
Well,
they got Porter and Oubre and this kid.
No. In the NBA, again, the league is all about positionless basketball now. So you want to draft as many 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", guys as you can because they're all interchangeable. So, again, this is what I'm saying. He's got skills. He's got a good a tool bag. He can pass. He's not a great shooter. They insist that the shot is the mechanics are good and he will make shots. He's got great size. He's a smart kid. He seems like a really nice kid. So I don't dislike him as a player. What I'm saying is,
you're saying he's a good prom date.
By the time he's good, by the time he's ready to contribute, John Wall's going to be on the north side of 30.
Right.
So why? I mean, how does this help you?
That team's done.
Well, I would have taken somebody that maybe could help me more right away. That's what I would have done.
And they're always there. You know, they're always. I mean, Wall is complaining that we need more athletic big people.
Well, he's right.
You know,
that,
so
that doesn't mean he should say it out loud. But he's right.
They didn't make that attempt. They didn't try to do that.
They didn't like.
They didn't package a bunch of.
Well, you know, there were only a couple. There were a few guys in the top 10. It was very difficult to get in the top 10 because people wanted to keep those picks and take those guys, and almost everybody did.
See, they've got the notion is. Well. Look at Golden State. They can shoot from anywhere on the court, and they're a great team. And we've got Wall and Beal. Yeah, but Golden State has Draymond Green.
No, they're better.
They got better, and they got Kevin Durant. They're better. You can't just do it with two guards.
No, you can't.
That's what Toronto proved.
Right. That's right. And the two guards Golden State has are better than the two guards you
that's
have.
Right.
So I mean, not on top of everything else that they have that's better than you.
So I think they're done.
I think they need to do something very dramatic this summer to change the makeup of their team because the team they have now is not close to being good enough to compete.
They had the NBA gave out their awards. The
last night, yeah.
The NHL does this after the season. It's a mistake. The NBA does it. It's a mistake. It's regular season awards and the playoffs are done. It's a mistake.
It's eight weeks later. I know.
Coolest award, of course, is Dwayne Casey winning Coach of the Year and having been fired in the interim.
Yes.
And makes a very nice speech about it.
He handled it with class.
He really
always does.
Yes, he did. He made a very... And James Harden, who is not called Big Game James.
No.
Because as you point out...
No, not big in big games.
No, not in the second half of big games.
Not in the playoffs.
No, so which is really when it counts.
Yeah.
And he's your MVP. But again, so I said that thing about Markelle Fultz. Another one of your boys. Victor Oladipo.
Yes, he's
another
Dematha
the kid.
Yes.
And he won most improved.
He did. He's had a great year. He had a great year. You know, playoffs led and nobody. And I was at the front of the line saying that Indiana got nothing for Paul George.
Did.
Well, this is my point. He was
but
great.
They did. So was the other.
And Sabonis was great. And
they're better off.
Yes. I would say they're better off
without playoff Pete.
Right.
They're better off.
Right.
And plus, Victor Oladipo has another skill. He can sing.
He can actually sing.
Yes.
No, he's not somebody, you know, not these ballers who want to be rappers and all this.
No. He's a singer.
No, he can actually sing. He actually has got a very, very nice voice.
All right. So we will
Anything
get out
else?
Of here. No, that's it.
That
we'll
was
get
it?
Out of here. No, I'm
talking.
Hey, you have to earn your breakfast here. You have to earn this.
Work for that bacon.
Yeah. All right, so we will be back. We'll do news when we return, and hopefully Liz will join us. So always
I'm
a pleasure.
Intrigued.
We have more baseball coming.
More baseball.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's the final week of June 2018, and you know what that means. We are fully in underpants season.
Well, we are.
Yes, we really are.
You've definitely heard me talk about MeUndies, you know, the fun, comfy undies that feel as good as they look. To those of you who haven't tried them yet, listen up. You can get incredible underwear sent to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around for the perfect pair at a crowded store and eventually settling for good enough, or fighting the crowds at a chatter breakfast as Tony throws underpants at you from the window.
I've done that. Underpants!
Very underpants! MeUndies are made with a sustainably sourced material from beechwood trees. Their naturally soft fiber makes a fabric that won't sag down or ride up. Trust me, once you put on a pair, you'll get it. And when I'm looking for underpants, I know it needs to come from a beechwood tree. I'm going to give a plug for
Beechwood
45789.
I'm going to give a plug for the MeUndies socks. They have these no-show socks, and now that it is underpants season, it's hot, only getting hotter.
Yes.
These are a great addition if you are going for a walk around your neighborhood, and people don't realize this, but D.C. is quite hilly. And we went out to dinner last night.
Take the baby bootsy out?
Yeah, but you're running around, you're pushing the stroller, picking them up, and the no-show socks really helped my feet.
Oh, you have a pair?
Stay comfortable,
oh,
yes.
Oh, great.
MeUndies is so sure you'll love your first pair that if you're not happy, they'll do whatever they can to get you into the right pair. And if they can't, keep them, and they'll refund you. So it really is risk-free to try the best underwear, and I add, socks, ever. And if you're already part of the MeUndies fam, tell your friends about it through their referral program. They'll get a discount, and you'll get store credit. Win-win, and as always, nothing says friendship like sharing underpants. Still not sure? Well, MeUndies has a deal for my dad's listeners. First-time purchasers get 15% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. That's 15% off plus free shipping and a guarantee that you and your MeUndies will be very happy together. Get your butt over to MeUndies and treat yourself. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us, because we're big with rabbis, by Rabbi Reuven Spolter in Israel.
Spolter?
Sent it to us, hardly knew her. He sends us his attached, please find a single from the debut album of a very talented Y.M. Malik called Love Is Like a Bird from the album Dear God, shared with his permission. He's a Jerusalem-based artist who's been performing for audiences around the world. The album debuted number 5 this week on the Billboard New Releases chart.
Go.
Wow. Wow. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much everywhere else, and
just
on his
fantastic
website,
song.
musicym.com. Love Is Like a Bird. Michael, we are stunned every day by the
every
amount
day.
Of talent that is out there and sends us stuff. If people want to send us music to play, and you can listen to it in its entirety at the end of the podcast, how do they do it?
Send us your original music by emailing it to the show at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And are we selling anything?
Baby boy Bootsy.
Yeah, Bootsy
one. One year old and already pushing hard to
yes.
get you into that Johnny O gear. Now, they still have the Bootsy 1 code available. And that should be up for another week or two.
Okay.
And we have our new summer gear, golf gear, and a new visor showing up on the TK shop. And that should
oh, a new
show up,
visor?
Yeah, it's a golf visor.
Oh, that's
That'll
nice.
Show up, I think, in the middle of July or so.
Okie dokie. And it's trivia night tonight. Tuesday night is trivia night
yes.
at Chatter. So everybody is welcome to participate.
And here is your trivia question.
Thank you.
Who was shot in the eye while getting a massage?
Mo Green.
There you go.
Oh, easy yeah.
One. That was easy.
Who was easy?
These are very easy. Mo Green.
I mean, yeah, I could give you hard ones, but we like to get the answer right, you know?
Mo Green played by?
Oh, I know this. Adam Ferrara's told me the story. He's met this bloke. I can't remember his name.
Okay.
I thought you knew it.
It's not Michael V. Gatto, who was also in that movie.
No.
I don't know who played Mo Green.
I will find
Does anybody
out.
Out there know who played Mo Green in The Godfather?
No, Adam's going to kill me.
Okay.
Sterling...
Hayden.
Sterling Sharp.
Yes.
No, that's a different
is that it?
Guy.
John Sterling.
John Sterling, that's right.
No, Sterling something.
The
bullets Yankee in my eye.
Yeah, did not end well for Mo in that. We'll give you a World Cup update, Mr. Tony. Two more teams punched their ticket to the round of 16.
I'm going to talk about this later.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to talk about having to sit yesterday basically on pins and needles. Well, the show hung in the balance. I'm going to get to that later.
There are some exciting matches today, some very important matches. I know you have your keen eye on them.
I don't.
Nigeria and Argentina. Argentina really needs to win and get a lot of help in the other match.
Do they need help or just win?
I think they need help. They need some sort of help from Iceland, I think. Against Croatia. Croatia is leading that group by a lot. So
they crushes in.
But yes. Iceland's not out of it.
No, yes. Iceland is not out of it by any stretch. And also Australia has a puncher's chance to get in if Denmark loses to France and if Australia beats Peru later on this morning.
So we discussed this the other day briefly, but with different people, so I'll ask both of you.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on a team that, if we're in.
Mm-hmm. And you mean into the final round?
Well, we're into the knockout round.
Yeah, yeah.
We got out of group.
I got you.
Right. And I've got one game left.
I got you.
And if I lay down...
Oh,
and
sure.
lose that game, right. that helps me in the long term because it knocks somebody out as good.
Right.
I'm going to do that.
For sure.
Right? And other people say, oh, no, there's a purity and you play to win. No. I'm going to root self-interest.
No,
I'm going to lay down like a dog.
Exactly.
But what'd you do?
Of course, this falls in the obvious way it's going to fall. You're going to lay down like a dog and think of self-interest, and I'm thinking of the right thing. of the purity. And to me, any time a competitor takes the field of play, you play to win. And that's why I'm completely opposed. Sorry, my finger is wagging. You can't.
Right.
It's why I'm very opposed to, in Formula One, these team rules where like one teammate lays back, helps the other.
Yeah.
I just can't stand it. And it all goes to someone is paying for that ticket. Let's go to David's 8-year-old child.
Right.
The child in San Diego.
Yeah. No, but just truly, wants to see Gio pitch for two innings.
I feel this very, very strongly.
Okay. I'm not.
I know I'm in the minority, and I know you're mocking me, and I don't care.
I think the morality of your point is 100% right. Yes. But I also think that the practicality of trying to win the World Cup would dictate if we can lay down, and that would kick out Germany and get us we wouldn't have to play
them. I see the logic.
It worked out great for the Wizards.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it did.
Lay down and
they won that championship. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's right. Alex Rocco played
Alex
Mowgli.
Rocco. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. And Adam tells this great story where he was, I think he was cast in something or they're reading something and he walked in and he met Alex for the first time and Alex knew that he wanted to hear the Mo Green, so he just came out with the Mo Green speech. Yeah. And Adam was like, this is just the best. Yeah. So the late, great Alex Rocco, I should say. Now, we talked before the show, you wanted to know who the coach of the U.S. men's team was.
There is none.
Well, there is. Dave Sarachin, or Sarachin, is the interim coach, and his contract has been extended through June. Uh-huh. So he's got long legs
through June. I'm confused already. 19? So he's...
Through the end of this month.
So he's he's got a week.
He's got a week left. Obviously, they're going to wait until after the World Cup.
They said there's no timeline. The guy who's making the pick said there's no timeline.
I do have a list of some of the candidates that they're looking at.
They should look at Belichick.
Well, that's one. Richie Pettibone, Kirk Douglas, and Al Hroboski, the former reliever for the Cardinals. So we'll keep you posted on how that turns out. Mr. Tony, the University of Maryland has a new athletic director, Damon Evans.
Who's been serving as the interim for over a year.
Kevin Anderson officially stepped down as Maryland's athletic director.
Do we have any idea what happened there
with
Kevin Anderson?
None.
Absolutely none. It was like one day he woke up and said, I'm a different human being and this is it.
I don't even know how to speculate. He was take a leave of absence that was never...
Rock solid guy. He was the AD at Army.
Yes, yes.
At Army. He came in here... He hired Turgeon. He fired
Randy Edsall.
Edsall was a bad hire.
Yeah, that was a bad hire. And he cut seven sports. I mean, it's not like everything he touched turned to gold. I mean,
do we have any idea how much money do athletic directors make at big schools? Do they make $1 million? Do they make $200,000? I don't have any idea what they make.
I don't know.
I know commissioners make a lot of money.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they make a lot of money.
I would think a Power 6 AD makes $1 million. I would think $750 million.
That's what I would think. So this is a job that would have plenty of suitors.
Oh, sure.
Plenty of suitors. Maryland in the Big Ten would have plenty of suitors. What else?
Mr. Tony, some big news. We did not get to this yesterday. Some big news in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Women were finally allowed to drive. I believe, the last country that had barred women from driving. So women exultantly at midnight when the ban was lifted were out on the roads.
So I was thinking about this, and it's not that I have anything profound to say, and I really don't. Because if you're in the United States of America, you just, you go, what? It's 2018, what? What?
Yeah.
But that's the way we look at the world. Other countries look at the world in different ways, and it's always dangerous, it seems to me, to impose or try to impose whatever your value system is on other countries. And this, of course, leads to any sort of comments about regime change. Mm-hmm. The notion that, well, this is the way we live, so you need to live this way too. Well, by the way we live, you do, but we're not there. Mm. And we haven't been there for 2,000 years or 8,000 years, however long people have been there. What are your feelings on this?
I almost thought you were going in a direction of there are good people on both sides.
Do you know what I mean?
On this issue of women driving, it's one of those.
It's hard for me to believe that, that women can't drive. That there's a big...
No, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But, in your preamble, I don't at the moment feel there is a we is in the description of our nation, and this is just a window on how bleak I feel at the moment. I don't know. I feel at odds with a lot of the divisions in our country right now that have not only been exposed but fomented mm-hmm. and purposefully accentuated are kind of tearing me apart. So I don't know that there is a we our country anymore. This is how we view X, you know, when fundamental things like
I think the
what
right,
our country stands for right, right. is up for debate.
I would think driving would not be up for debate.
I would hope not. I would hope not. But anyway, I yeah, good for Saudi Arabia. Yeah. It's well overdue. I'll stop there.
Okay. I'll stop Cliffy, there. Come up here. This is our Cliffy from PTI. Come oh, sit.
That's right.
From Newfoundland.
Yeah, from Newfoundland.
What's up? From Newfoundland.
Okay.
Cliffy. You
tell
just
us.
Got a
sit
name.
Down. His name is Michael. But bring a chair. Don't just kneel. Well,
they don't have chairs
bring
in Newfoundland.
Bring a chair.
You're like,
where's
you're
Marcus
like,
to help set
Billy,
us up?
Yeah, like Billy Bob Thornton.
Eating barbecue.
In Bad I, Santa.
I love that movie. I love Bad
what,
Santa.
What are their names? I don't know. I just call them Bub. Hey, Bub.
So tell us how you came. So we've never had an intern before from outside the country. Well, we didn't even know that people watched us from outside. Tell us how you came to be an intern, and you're the summer intern at PTI.
Yeah, you actually have a huge following up in Canada and Newfoundland specifically. So I've watched the show every night for years, and I had a friend actually who is very smart individual, and he got a scholarship to do a semester at American University.
Yeah!
David's school.
So,
the American
Fly Eagles Fly.
He was there, and one of his professors actually knew Matt Kelleher, one of the main producers at PTI, mm-hmm. and they set up a tour for him, and then he went in, and he told me about it. He got a picture. I was like, wow, that's my favorite show. Like, could I have his email? So then I emailed Matt Kelleher, who passed me over to
Mattawano, probably.
Mattawano, the recruitment, and I emailed him back and forth for probably a year plus before I got into the recruitment process. And
persistence.
And then I kept emailing him, and then I went into the process, and it worked out.
This is – the odds against you in your mind must have been 1,000,000 to 1 when it started.
A billion to 1.
Because there would be nobody that you – there would be nobody in your experience who had done this or knew how to do it, and you would think, I don't even know if I could do it at all.
Well, I'd be getting texts from everyone once they heard what I was doing, like, oh my God, that's incredible. Like, I'm so jealous. Like, how did you get that? I think I've inspired all my friends to at least try to do this kind of thing, because it's just not heard of where I'm from. My province has 500,000 people in it, so there's really, really not a lot of people where I'm from. So someone to do something like this, it's pretty cool.
And it's freezing all the time. You said last week it was snowing there.
Oh, there is a frost warning last night in my hometown. This is record low. This is not normal, but there was a frost warning last night.
In June.
Now Newfoundland is the province that's like the Aggie jokes of the United States, right? Everybody makes fun of Newfies.
Yes.
What is the prevailing opinion of Newfoundlanders about those jokes?
I feel like I'm not going to stand for everyone, but I feel like if you say Newfie in an endearing way, no one has a problem with it. Like, I don't have a problem with it, but if you use Newfie in a derogatory term, that's where I think people get upset. But some people, just like everywhere else, would get upset, even the word Newfie. But, like, it doesn't bother me, and, like, I think I stand for a lot of people to say, oh, that's foolishness. Like, that doesn't really matter. But if you use it in, like, a goofy, noofy kind of way, like saying, like, you're stupid, that's when you start to take offense to it.
So but Canada is enormous. Oh. And it's spread out. I guess the only larger country in terms of east to west is probably Russia.
Yeah, it's second.
So, and there's, like, how many time zones in Canada now? Are there five or four?
Four or five.
His is the, Liz.
Atlantic.
His is the oddest. Yeah. No. Tell him what it is. This is fantastic.
It's an hour and a half ahead of Eastern time. It is the only one on a half an hour.
That's so cool.
A half an hour. That's cool. That's craziness.
I love that.
Newfoundland and Labrador is a province, and it's split. Labrador is part of the hour plus, but Newfoundland, which is the same province, has its own time zone, and it's hour and a half.
I like it.
That is so wild. And where is Gander? Is that in Newfoundland or Labrador?
No, that's in Newfoundland. So that's about, I live in St. John's, which is the
capital. That's the capital.
The capital. So that's very east. That's the most east.
That's where Chris Mullin
went,
right?
And Gander's in the middle, central. So it's about 3.5 to 4 hours outside Newfoundland.
But also on a coast. John's. Right.
No, that's not.
Oh, it's inland?
Yeah.
It's
did you ever mush a dog?
It's not too far.
Did you ever do that? Did you do dog mushing?
I actually did that in Canada, not in Newfoundland, but I did that up in, my sister was in law school out in Calgary, so I visited her, and we went into the mountains in Banff.
Oh, so I love Banff. Cool.
Do you, do the people who live where you live, do they are they separatists? Do they want to be part of Canada? Do they feel that they're Canadian, or do they feel that they're, no, that they're in this special thing, Newfoundland?
I think everyone, it's Newfoundland first, Canada second. Like, everyone still loves Canada and to be happy to be part of Canada, and I love Canada, but it's a very proud, proud feeling to be from Newfoundland, and I think everyone really kind of grabs onto that and goes with it. Like, and if anyone makes it big, you know about it. It's 500,000 people. Like, it's very rare to be like, there were six NHLers, which is, for us, huge. So, like, now there's none in there anymore. But it's, you know, when someone makes it big, which is a very big sense.
So, community. Of course, I asked stupid questions when I first met him. Like, do you have McDonald's? Like, do you have fast food
Tim Hortons.
You live?
Tim Hortons.
Hortons.
We have, no, we have a lot of the main things. We are a functioning, very high functioning.
So when Tony on PTI says, "Good night, Canada," isn't that what you said?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how was that received in Canada?
Well,
Is that like a shout out? Is that like a cool thing?
It's
or
cool.
Like,
always,
there he goes
that's
again.
The first thing I asked when I got there. I was why is it? Why does he wave that Canadian flag?
Yes. So. What did he say?
Well, first of all, let's understand something, that when I wave that flag, it makes me the most dateable guy in the United States of America. The story is, and this is the thing that gets asked of me more than anything else relative to PTI.
Really?
Some years back, it's more than 10 years now. We've been on the air for 17 years. And more than 10 years ago, we were carried from 5:30 to 6 in Canada on TSN, the sports network, the National
evening.
Sports Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at some point, the ratings of the 6 o'clock Sports Center decreased. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we'll put your ending in the 6 o'clock Sports Center.
Right.
We'll, within the first 15 minutes, we'll give you your last 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will help the ratings. And that we did that for about a year. And I said, well, what is the effect of this? And the effect of it was that Canadians never saw our ending anymore.
Right.
So they missed the happies and they missed the commentary and they missed the back and forth. And I said, well, you know, let's acknowledge that. I'll just say goodnight, Canada, because we're done in Canada. I'll say goodnight, Canada. And then we got a little bitty flag. And then it turned into something habitual to the degree that there are people who think I'm Canadian. Even though I say all the time, I'm from Long Island. He must be Canadian.
I think
most people in Canada who pay attention to it like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's an acknowledgement.
Like it. Yeah. I actually have had people say, "Is Tony Cornaggio from Canada? Like, is that why he waves that Canadian flag?"
Yeah.
No. So. But yeah, they do like it. Everyone appreciates it, and then it's just a little shout out, but it means a lot.
Well,
good
job out of you. You can, you know, this is available, I'm sure, on shortwave radio where you live.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm sure 450,000 of the 500,000 will listen to the Newfoundlander on.
I would get out of here. We will have old guy radio.
I have one bit of information for you to ask about ADs, and this is from a few years ago, but it's the most current information we get. Athletic directors make roughly $515,000.
So that's really good.
Yeah, that is really good.
That's really good. Plus, you get your own parking spot.
Sure.
Yes.
You get tickets to all the games.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's not a bad
job. That's less than I thought. I mean, it's odd because ostensibly they're the boss of head coaches, and we know where that salary is going.
As
I said, ostensibly.
As children say to their parents, you are not the boss of me.
Yes.
You are not the boss of me.
And there's also a trending story that I want to make sure everyone knows we're aware of. There's video of a man as a car drives down the highway near Miami and
hanging onto the hood.
Hanging on the hood
at 70.
Appears to be totally calm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as the copy in this story says, there are still a lot of unanswered questions surrounding this. We'll get to the bottom of that though.
All right, we have an old guy when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beatles. Still exciting for me. Totally exciting. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Was there, like, at one point, didn't Paul McCartney say that they didn't have the yeah at one point? Did John? This is an area of critical commentary. They were going to change the lyrics to that?
Well, no, when they played it for Paul's father. By the way, the reason we're playing this is because on this date in 1963, John and Paul in their hotel room sat on their beds with acoustic guitars and wrote this song in roughly 5 minutes.
55 years ago.
And then they played it for Paul's father, and he said, you know, it's, there's too much Americanism in that. Could you say she loves you? Yes, yes, yes. And they were like, no, Dad, I think we really need to keep it like this. And the producer, I think it was Jeff Emmerich, when they got into...
It was not George Martin at that time. No.
I don't think it was George that was in there for the recording
Sir
of it.
George Martin.
But they were like, yeah, I don't really agree with this yeah, yeah, yeah thing. And then he heard it, and he was like... Oh, this is brilliant.
No, that was the most exciting thing. Yeah. When the first two Beatles songs of Consequence, I Want to Hold Your Hand and She
Norman
Loves
Smith.
You, were just, they were revolutionary in the way kids reacted. They were empowering. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. You're coming out of that period of time, this terrible period in American history with the assassination of John Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And within months, there's this incredible buoyancy from across the water. And for a period of time, for a couple of years, 2, 3, 4 years, everything British was, we've got to have that now. This, they're leading the way with all of this stuff. And it was the Beatles. I mean, it was... I can't overreact. There's no overreaction. All of this, in that period of time, all of this was exactly true. It was just an amazing thing. It was liberating, completely liberating.
That recording was from their appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, yes.
Ed Sullivan booked him 3 straight weeks.
Yes. What do you got
three
doing
straight
next
weeks.
Week?
You know, people now would have no idea what Ed Sullivan was because television isn't the same.
No.
Because you can get anything you want anytime you want on television.
No.
But you have to wait for it.
But to be on Ed Sullivan,
On a Sunday night on CBS, on Ed Sullivan.
And there's only 3 channels.
So really, really big deal.
He's doing 40 and 50 shares every week.
Yeah, and he would come out there and just when he came out on the stage, and he's this old newspaper man.
Right.
You know, he's just a guy. He's a gossip columnist in a newspaper. And he would come out there, and people would start screaming, literally screaming. And he would stand there and go, "Now, you promised. You promised. You've got to wait for it." And the Beatles would come out.
There they are.
You
the
could
Beatles.
Not hear you, in your own home. You
yes.
could not hear.
Yes.
It was amazing.
And you were right. Lennon put the yeah, yeah, yeah in there. It was, he said he got something from Elvis, even though Elvis hadn't really done it. He's like, I felt like that was something Elvis would have done. And they got the woo from the Isley Brothers, Isley Brothers, Twist and Shout, which they had just recorded. So it was sort of a blend of all
these
things.
Who were their idols? Their idols were Chuck Berry and Little Richard and the
Elvis,
Isley Brothers.
Yeah, all those guys.
Elvis Presley. People that,
Roy
that,
Orbison,
that changed... To change the course of it.
Have you guys seen this Carpool Karaoke?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I've got to
watch
it.
The one with McCartney.
It's like
you haven't
25
seen it?
Minutes.
No,
it is.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Right. It's like you cannot stop watching it.
Yeah, I've got to watch it.
I just thought that was the most wonderful thing.
And you still haven't watched
you've got to see it.
No,
today.
it's this James Corden.
It is 25 minutes. But
so
it's
Nigel
great.
Is the one who hasn't seen
it. And they're in Liverpool.
Yes.
And they sit in the car and Paul McCartney's singing his own songs with this guy.
They stop at the sign of Penny Lane.
Yes. Yeah. They go into his old house.
They go to the barber shop. No, it's so touching.
It's been seen many, many millions of people. Nobody has said anything other than, have you seen this?
No,
it's great.
Yeah.
So I guess this James Corden is becoming sort of a star.
Well, he is a star to him.
But, I mean, people want to do that with him.
Everybody's done it with him.
Right?
Everybody's done it with him.
Sit in the car and do that.
I'm always late to things like this. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I don't watch him. I mean, I know he's a musical theater performer. He was in England. Mm-hmm. He was in Into the Woods, the movie Into the Woods.
Yeah, was he also in that music movie with Mark Ruffalo, where Mark Ruffalo plays a producer and they end up doing stuff outside?
I don't know.
Yeah, and Keira Knightley was in that as well.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing.
You'll love it.
I asked Liz during the break, is she okay with this? Because she was tense before and talking about leaving the country.
Sorry.
No. That's why we love to have you.
But
it's the service at the restaurants, it's the screaming at the restaurants, it's the shaming at the restaurants. And you want to say, we're better than this, but maybe we're not.
Hmm.
You know, don't you want to feel what are we doing here? Now, I blame the internet for everything, though I wouldn't necessarily blame the internet for this. But somebody has to say, hey, come on. Yeah, don't do this, right? Don't do this.
You want to go first, Liz?
Yeah,
which I mean, not to say I don't understand the cause of it.
It's hard to go far down the road of defending this and not talk about the Supreme Court ruling on the baking of the cake.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
can deny baking yeah, the cake, mm-hmm. you know, blah, 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 blah. I do understand when the restaurant owner speaks about, if I've got this right, she spoke with her wait staff, her cooks, mm-hmm. you know, are you comfortable? And I can certainly understand, you know, restaurant workers' discomfort. But it would be, I'm really hard pressed to say, yeah, this was the way to go. And the bigger picture is just my heartache and really despair over the disappearance of tolerance, of the acceptance of differences. You know, in our whole society, in our whole culture, and I certainly don't blame that on the internet. I mean, in this context, I blame this on this presidency. That's where I blame it. I mean, I understand the role of the internet in hate speech with no consequences and how evil it is. I will stop there because I'm sure others have things to say.
No, I would love to listen to Liz and let's talk about anything. I am not for denying people service at restaurants. I don't think that's a cool thing. I don't like that. Especially with the history of people being denied service at restaurants.
Sure, at the Walgreens mm-hmm. and, you know, in the lunch counters.
Yeah. Sure.
Having said that, I think it is, I hope it is somewhat instructive to people who do not share my political philosophy that when you are singled out and you are denied service,
mm-hmm.
that's maybe not a cool thing.
For anybody.
And they should understand mm-hmm. that. So when two gay people want to have a wedding cake built, made for them, they like service too, you know? And so we can go down this road if you want, and then nobody right. will serve anybody. Or maybe we can say, hey, let's figure out a way where we can all kind of work, you know, figure this out together. On the indignity to person scale, if you look at the history of this country with regard to serving people who want nothing more than just to get their food and be left alone, I think the score is something like 4 trillion to 3. Right now.
Yes.
So
yes.
So I can't get worked up and upset because a group of people very politely told Sarah Sanders they were not going to serve her at the restaurant. Actions do have consequences. Being black is not an act. It's not an action. Mm-hmm. Being gay is not an action. That's mm-hmm. not something you choose to do. It's just what mm-hmm. you are. Whereas this is the result of actions taken by a particular person at a particular point of time. Now, you can say that you know, there can be conservative people who don't want to serve Valerie Jarrett or somebody like that in the Obama administration. That would be wrong, too, I think. And again, I'm not saying this is the right thing. What I'm saying is that your actions do have consequences, and people do have the right to protest the actions mm-hmm. that you take, not who you are, which is completely different, mm-hmm. but the actions that you take as a sentient person. So I wish we would take it out of the restaurants, out of the food service mm-hmm. area. But, you know, what are people supposed to do? Especially, and the thing that annoys me about this more than anything, Tony, is this notion from the political media in this town that are served by being permanent institutions in this town to express this kind of distaste for what actual people believe, what actual people want to do, and how they want to protest, and that we have to all be civil to each other. Well, one side's not being civil, okay? They're not being civil. They're wearing T-shirts at their rallies that called Hillary Clinton the C-word, and now you're mad because somebody called somebody else the C-word. You know, and so, and they're saying lock her up and all these things, and they're starting Tea Party rallies, and they have pictures of President Obama in a noose and with a bone through his nose. Is that civil?
No.
Is that civil behavior?
No.
So, I mean,
I would tell you that one and one doesn't make two in that.
That is true. Yeah, that's true. But what I'm saying is
I would say that somebody has to
stop
that.
There's always this kind of unilateral disarmament. You got to stop first. well, why don't you stop? No, I'm not stopping. You know, so what is it? I mean, either we're all going to figure this out together, but there seems to be a difference in the amount of political incivility that's on one side as opposed to the other.
Yeah, I would tell you, I mean, I try to think
opinion.
About...
That's my opinion. I mean, I'm right.
I would, you know, my sense of this is what's mm-hmm. wrong is wrong, mm-hmm. And you know when you're doing it wrong. I mean, mm-hmm. and maybe you yeah. don't, but somebody yeah. should point it out that it's wrong, but it doesn't mean that you come back with a cannon,
right.
you know, that we got to be better than that. And it's always, you know, it's the sort of romantic in me that thinks about the Emma Lazarus poem
mm-hmm.
in all of these contexts. This is how we were made.
Right.
This is the one country.
It is.
That was it's made this way.
Nation of and immigrants.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand, you know, I understand the concept of borders, but...
Yeah.
But I also, you know, I also understand you go politely to the border and then you're let in, you know, and it works that
the
way.
People,
all right, I'm gonna get
the people that were here first, you know, they didn't get treated so hot.
No, they got smallpox in the blanket.
Yeah. So yeah. what are we talking
Not
about?
Not pigs in a blanket. Smallpox
what are we talking
in
about?
A blanket. Yeah. I wanted to tell the World Cup story because I interrupted
right.
you. So yesterday. We were looking. I mean, I said, "What's the show? What are we going to do?"
Right.
And Kelleher says to me, "Well, if Spain and Portugal both lose, they're both out." And I went, "Okay." And I said, "So what?" He said, "No, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
If Spain and Portugal both lose, this is a big deal because mm-hmm. Ronaldo would be out.
That's true.
And he's a big star. Mm-hmm. And Spain had fired their coach right. an hour before they started, and that's a big star." I said, "Okay, fine." And he said, and if they both lose, they're both out. So now we sit. Now that game starts at 2:00. So it's going to be over at about 4:15 or somewhere in
okay.
there. Plenty of time to recraft the show. Then we find out at about 3 that if they both lose, they're both not out.
Ooh.
No, they're both not out.
Ooh.
Because if they're both out, then Iran and Morocco would be in.
Mm-hmm.
But Morocco has no chance
yeah,
of being in. So
yeah.
that means that one of those two has to stay in. Now that lessens the story
right,
a little bit. Now we're watching, and by we, I mean everybody in the newsroom is watching other than me, because I don't really care. And every 15 minutes ago, you hear, oh, like that. And you go, what happened? And well, he almost got a goal.
Right.
Ah!
That's another novella.
So Portugal, so then we watch, and Ronaldo misses. Portugal's up 1-0, and Ronaldo misses a penalty.
Right,
now,
right.
even I understand that's a big deal.
Right, right.
Because 2-0 seems like, forget it.
Yeah.
2-0 seems like, forget it. So now it's 1-0. And then somebody says, you know, Spain is down to Morocco 2-1 or 2-0. And then I find out that doesn't mean anything. Spain is going in.
Spain's in.
Spain can lose 10,000-0. Spain is in. It doesn't really matter. So now we're waiting on Portugal. So
mm-hmm.
Iran on a penalty kick. Iran, and by the way, soccer is now, you know, for the soccer heads mm-hmm. who tell you it's a beautiful game and it's seamless and it's gorgeous and it's played now the way it was played then. Well, no, it isn't because they're going to replay too.
Mm-hmm.
They're like NBA refs in the last 2 minutes. They're like zebras in football.
Yeah.
And they're reversing things all the time.
Yeah.
And by the way, you are then... Unlike other sports, the players, it looks like they're going to hit the referee.
Yeah.
I mean, they are like right there. It's like, surround this guy.
Yeah.
And if I had a red card, I'd just start waving it on everybody.
Go Billy Crystal on him.
So they get
a goal.
They get a goal. And now it's like 98 minutes into the game, which is only supposed to last 90 because
right.
they're in.
Stoppage time.
Whatever they're in. They're in that part.
Stoppage time.
They're in that part where there is urgency, and now Iran is flying around because
yeah.
they got to score. They
yeah.
need to score. So finally it dawns on them it would be a good idea to send the ball at the net.
Mm-hmm.
And they get this one opportunity, and a guy kicks it to the left side. On the side, it doesn't go in, and then all hope is lost at that point. And then everybody exhales, and it's not even in the show at all.
Oh,
because
gosh.
They both advance, and there's no story. There's no story. That is, we led with LeBron, of course.
Okay.
We spend every day of our lives
right.
leading with LeBron. You need to write me a note. I didn't ask you about LeBron today. You need to thank me. So it's LeBron, and that's it. And that is World Cup in a very small little story.
Yeah.
That it could, didn't happen. And so we move on. We'll get out of here now.
And that may or may not be reflected in this upcoming jingle.
We have a jingle. We have email and a jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
1%er, so full of unmitigated gall. Someone who still writes has some thoughts about soccer. Novellas on the pitch makes you grouse and moan and bitch. You rant so hard like someone who's gone off their rocker. This is just the way we knew it'd go. Once you left radio, you can't stand soccer, but you're just fine if they come to chatter and you sell them some wine and some beer.
Yes.
You've really sunk this low. You're all about the sale. They don't give Pulitzers for mixing up cocktails. This might just be too real. Now you know how sales weasels feel.
John Fitzpatrick is brilliant. From Arlington. Who just says, let it go. Let your hatred for soccer go. Just let it go. Let it go. Let me thank the sponsors today, Bespoke and MeUndies. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Bill LaHecca in Cohoes, New York. So I was finally able to make it down for a podcast taping and chatter, and I can honestly say it was an experience. If I could cribble on from one of my old favorites, David Letterman, of all the podcast tapings I've attended, this was one of them. From Justin Johnson, not that Justin Johnson, in Arlington, Virginia, I find the garlic parmesan Triscuits to be quite good. I've always liked those myself. From Ron St. Amant from Toronto. That's great. He's back with us. With all due respect to Elizabeth's chatter promotion, Man versus Food, I think what we really want to see is Nigel versus the Snake. The Man versus Food thing starts at the end of this week, does it not?
Yes, I believe it
does. Are you doing one of those here?
Yeah, Elizabeth is putting a giant pie together of it's a carbohydrate bomb.
Okay.
And if you eat it and don't go to the bathroom and don't throw up, you win it.
You get a T-shirt.
You get it
for
free, and a chatter T-shirt.
There you go.
It's the old 96.
Van. Mr. Preppy Saliz's comments about prep schools versus mundane high schools reminded me of the classic Dick Cavett comment when he was a student at Yale. A fellow Yalie asked him where he prepped, to which he replied, "I didn't prep, I hide." Lincoln High School, Lincoln, Nebraska. From Tony Beeson. Tony Beeson of I Have a Piano fame in Cincinnati, Ohio.
I met him the other night.
Yes,
I had
with a tuxedo.
I had the opportunity to meet the great Leon Harris at Jingle Fest, and he laid some tough love on me. When I introduced myself and explained that I was associated with I Have a Piano, Leon broke into a broad grin and let out a big bass laugh. Leon, man, that song is bad. Me, oh, you mean it's cool? No, I mean that song was not good. Someone off to the side, do you mean like so bad it's good? Leon, no, I mean that song was really no good. Anyway, it was wonderful to meet Leon and David and Gene. It was also nice to say hello to Gary and Nigel and Michael again. A rabbi, we're great with rabbis, Rabbi Willie Balk in Englewood, New Jersey, but Tony Kornheiser, a fellow Lonsman, won't even let me on PTI as someone who's on the same side of the street. Can't you throw him a bone or something? We just had him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Come on.
Different real estate.
Come on. Andrew Kernitsky, McLean, Virginia. Is Saliz trying to start a war? On Monday, he mentioned that Nemanja Matic is a member of the Croatian national team when he's a member of the Serbian national team.
Ooh,
come on, Saliz. Mixing up a Serb with a Croat starts a major brouhaha. I expect more from the Kornheiser Show alleged expert on soccer. Keith Banks, great tie. What brand? What are the tie brands? Where's the tie?
Oh, you know, we'll get into that tomorrow.
We'll do the ties tomorrow. A two-name thing, right?
Yes.
In there, Greg Grant something?
It's, I have it right in front of me. Yes, Grant Patton ties.
Grant Patton ties, beautiful ties.
Yeah, they're very lovely
they
ties.
They sent us great ties. They're great. Keith Banks, TK, great tie. Okay, we did that already. Tony Schmidt, Belleville, Wisconsin. Nigel mentioned he thought the snake he encountered was 5 feet long. Did he have his rope and yardstick handy to take down those measurements?
I did.
Jeff Mong or Mongu, M-O-N-G-U-E, in Glenmont, New York. The other night, the woman to whom I'm married by marriage, and I went out for our anniversary. As we sipped champagne and gazed into each other's eyes, I said to her, "A year ago, Bootsy was born." "Who the hell is Bootsy?" was her reply. From Dr. John Grantham in Herndon, Virginia. If I am driving through Northwest D.C. and a man flags me down and asks me for 65 $1 so his daughter can have a dogfish head dinner. I should give him the money, right? Yes.
Absolutely.
You should do that. Ed Ryan in Denver, Colorado. I expected more from the JW Marriott Chicago. What does that mean?
Check the subject line. You always miss the
subject line. Only one. Oh, only one bathrobe.
Leave immediately.
From PK.
Demand a refund.
He writes, I wade through every podcast eagerly awaiting Saliza's scintillating World Cup coverage. I'm not even deterred by him incorrectly saying that the Serb Matic plays for Croatia and that the level of talent helped beat Argentina. Serbia, Croatia, what's the difference? All the names end in C, right? More Saliza. From Charlie Burtz in Springfield, Virginia. Not since Michael Jordan's arrival 18 years ago has D.C. felt the electricity of basketball euphoria jolting through its streets. The announcement of LeBron's impending arrival has the capital city dribbling with delirium. It's an historic day for the franchise, a beaming Ernie Grunfeld imparted, one which sets our team on a path not seen in the city for four decades. The GM continued, we have scheduled LeBron's injury for early November, allowing at least a few weeks of home sellouts before his months of rehab begin. His return in time for the playoffs will allow him to shake off the rust, hopefully allowing him to propel us into round two before he re-aggravates it. A muted James sat in the corner, shaving curly W's and dollar signs into his beard. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you!
I love sleeping in the dog bed, the Casper mattress dog bed. There's no room in the dog bed for anyone else but me. My grandpa's dog is named Chessie. When he gets a rabbit, it's messy. And he tries to beat me to the dog bed when it's time to go to sleep. I'm gonna brush my teeth. I'm gonna have sweet dreams. And when he wants his bed, well, I'll send him to mine instead. I love sleeping in the dog bed, the Casper mattress dog bed. There's no room in the dog bed for anyone else but me. You know I sleep much better, though it's a little bit wetter. Cause he drools just a little, but at least it's not piddle on me. Ooh, that's gross. Cause I love sleeping in the dog bed. No more Chessie in the dog bed. The dog can sleep in my bed. The dog bed forever for me.
jump into a river or let yourself go. Jump into a river or let yourself go.